As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hashtag faith. Vikings. And he's Paul Allen.
Football feast.
Beating the Bears.
I knew we was gonna beat them clowns.
Oh no! Yeah!
Wow, wasn't that fun?
And that's a fact.
Shall we begin?
9 to noon.
Hell yeah, that was fun. Talker Tuesday underway. It's 9 to noon. Good morning. Vikings beat the Bears, which means 3 in a row for Ole Udo.
3 in a row for Ole Udo. 3 in a row for Ole Udo.
And 3 in a row for Zimmer, though.
You know, these guys are pretty excited to go play, you know, in the locker room before the game. I told somebody, I said, well, they're not tight, that's for sure. I feel like they're starting to get some confidence. I think the defense is starting to get some confidence.
Steps up in the pocket, pumps, fires, intercepted! It's picked off by the hitman!
Offensively, you know, we've had it for a while.
Shade for the end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a 17-yard touchdown. It was a one-handed, left-handed grab.
You know, if we can continue to do this and play together as a team, we have a chance to win some more games.
It's muffed by Dwayne Harris and recovered by rookie Josh Metellus. Dwayne Harris blew it. Metellus took advantage, and the Vikings have it deep in Bears territory.
I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
You know, it just feels good. You know, we got 3 in a row.
Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was.
It's always hard to get a win in Chicago, man. It's always a battle.
I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
Keep it stacking and, you know, get back to it.
Brother, what a night the people saw. The people saw. Yes, indeed. And the sound of the battle rang.
It's a 53-yard grab by the best rookie receiver in the NFL. He's Justin Jefferson. Foles takes the snap and is sacked back at the 23-yard line by DJ Bonham. Rudolph makes a man miss, gets to the 30, drags two other Bears to the 28. 22 for 82 and first down.
I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
It's a dream, man. Dream come true, you know, and I'm just living out that dream.
Brother, what a night it really was.
I mean, it's the biggest stage, you know.
Glory be.
Yes!
I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
Monday Night Football on the platform, prime time, with everybody watching it. It's an unbelievable feeling.
Brother, what a fight to beat the song. Yes, indeed.
Next question.
No sound at all.
To the end zone! Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a touchdown, and the Vikings have turned over the Bears on downs. Holy cow, that was nervous time in Chicago.
The night Chicago died.
The game is
over. It is 4th and 10 from the Bears 38. Tyler Bray with a deep drop.
The night Chicago died.
He'll pass to the left and throw a knuckleball to absolutely nobody.
Yes, indeed, the night Chicago died.
And the Vikings have turned the Bears over on downs.
The night Chicago died.
And the anti-Vike, known as Soldier Field, has been neutralized.
Glory be, the night Chicago died.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Brother, what a night to beat the song. Brother, what a fight to beat the song.
Oh, yeah. That's nice work right there, boy. Master mixer of the Monday montage on a Tuesday, Eric Nordquist. He's mad producer, and he guides the great ship Love Covenant with yours truly, Paul Allen, on a Talker Tuesday. at FM 100.3 KFAN and from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Good morning. You know, there is a looming positive common thread with the suddenly hot Minnesota Vikings that is Dalvin Cook-esque in importance. And when you stamp something like that, it needs to be big. Because even when Dalvin Cook doesn't run for 100 yards or get into the end zone, he still is such a major important factor to everything that happens with every facet of this team. And there is a looming positive common thread with these Minnesota Vikings that I believe is Dalvin Cook-esque in importance. We fade the music and fire up 9 to noon and say, three in a row for Ole Udo. Three in a row for Ole Udo. Three in a row for Ole Udo. Kirk came through. R.I.P. Marwan Maloof's right ear. Best overall game Hitman has played in some time. And he had zero tackles. The Dalvin Cook-esque, in importance common thread, our head coach Mike Zimmer is on a major, major roll right now. Buttons pushed, adversaries confused. Think about where we've been, where we are, and hopefully where this suddenly surging football team is going. The head coach calling the plays, main man is red hot right now. I mean, do you think Mike Zimmer likes Khalif Raymond? Excuse me. Do you think a well-respected defensive mind who revolutionized the mugging of the A-gap likes something called Khalif Raymond over the top? Or do you think he likes Cam Dantzler getting lost on 4th and 10 in the Cappuccino Capital? Or Hayden Hurst a mile open because the defense was badly fooled? The obvious answer is absolutely not. I mean, think about where we were, where we are, and hopefully where we are going. Out of the bye. Defense holds A-Rodge at bay long enough to roll up a 2-score lead and hold on for all of our dear lives. Utterly dominated, confused, and put anguish on the countenance of Darrell Bevell, offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Went non-obvious on Foles and the Bears and didn't allow an offensive touchdown. Can't wait to hit on that next segment. Fanline analyst Ron Johnson will get some cred next segment for something he said last night on Fanline that was very, very accurate and also very non-obvious. Well done. But you're like, Paul, it's the Bears. I mean, that's 26 consecutive games for a team in the Chicago Bears where since the beginning of 2019... these Chicago Bears are 29th in points, 31st in yards per play, 30th in third down percentage, and 30th in rushing yards per attempt. That's a lot of games. But Paul, it's the Bears. Doogie, it's the Lions. Fair. But Zimmer had Nick Foles so messed up at key times, Philly Special didn't know what to do with himself, so he held the ball longer and it jacked up everything. By the way, those Bears, those moribund Bears, got touchdowns at Tennessee last game from Ryan Nall and Jimmy Graham, and the game before that ran up 23 on New Orleans and got touchdowns from Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson, all from Nick Foles. Our defensive savant head coach is on a freaking roll right now. Discretion is the better part of valor, right? We talked about that last week. Clearly, he simplified the defense out of the bye, and quite honestly, it's saving the season. But alas, the non-obvious from last night. He was super aggressive and more so the previous two games. That's Zim not being concerned with Nick Foles beating him down the field like Rodgers and or Stafford can beat you down the field. And this is terrific because now he has three games of tape showing a multitude of things that are working. A disciplined defensive line, a couple of nickel linebackers playing incredibly fast, and kids grasping it on the back end. It's been worth the wait. Ngakoue is gone, so now the band of no-names on the defensive line are doing it right, and it's changing the game. Jimmy Graham, the skeletal remains of the former Cane, 5 touchdowns this season, as many as he had in 2 seasons with A-Rodge. Jimmy Graham last night, 2 targets, 0 catches. The great A-Rob in 5 versus Zimmer, including 1 with Jacksonville, 0 touchdowns. The Chicago Bears passed for 108 yards last night, their lowest total of the season. 149 yards total of offense, their lowest output of the season by 94 yards. Bill Lazor, Zimmer's like, welcome in, the water's warm. 3 in a row at home now, and they should win them all. 3 in a row for Ole Udoh. Garrett Gilbert, welcome in, the water's warm. The 9 to noon What's on Deck set list, courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com. That includes Ryan Saunders, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves at 9:40. NBA draft is tomorrow. We got 1:17 and 3:3. Ryan Saunders, 9:40. The analyst, 10:15. Paul Charchian and the fantasy pickup joint at 11. And we thank you very much for listening to FM 100.3 KFAM. It's Paul Allen from the Bryant Heating and Cooling Studios. Happy to offer up that cash thing.
The Fan and Wixon Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand. Every hour, a new keyword. This hour's keyword, perfect for what we've begun talking about 9 to noon. The keyword is win. You want to win $1,000, want to put a grand in your hand, text win to 200-200. The football team won, and you can win by texting win to 200-200. National Cash Contest, text message and data rates apply. 9 to noon returns next.
It's 3rd and 5, Foles out of the shotgun. It's a screen right, very conservative, and Jeff Gladney blew it up. It was a screen right to Allen Robinson, and it's a loss of 4 for the rookie Jeffrey, his 4th TFL this season.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah!
Speaking of Jeff Gladney, rookie corner from TCU, welcome back to 9 to Noon, Talker Tuesday, 9:20. Vikings beat the Chicago Bears in very professional fashion. They have won 3 in a row, elevated their record to 4-5 into a 3-game home stretch beginning with the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones' team, this Sunday. The game is at shortly after 3, like 3:25. Pre-game on the Fan at KFAN. Welcome back, Jeff Gladney. Ron Johnson, part of our Fan family, Fox 9, and one of the great receivers in the history of Golden Gophers football. He is the analyst on Vikings Fan Line. And when I was driving back from the Palatial Purple Paradise last evening, man, did he nail a non-obvious point on Fan Line. I was so impressed with the way he laid it out. Zimmer, talking about the red-hot defensive savant, Zimmer flexed Jeff Gladney to deep safety several times last evening. Never had shown that, and Foles clearly was confused. You see, the hitman had come sneaking up to the line many times, but about 94% of the time, specifically out of the bye, with this being your simplification covenantal leader, the Fan, Gladney would flex over there, drift over there, but then go back and do something else. So now, having never shown exactly what transpired last evening, Super Bowl 5-2 MVP was utterly confused. New play caller Bill Lazor may have Estes Pease, and something like this changed the game. Well done, RJ. You nailed it, bud. Have I told you lately how much I love Jeff Gladney? And how much I loved Jeff Gladney when he was taking L after L after L? And the way 9 to Noon laid it out is to truly appreciate what you have in Jeff Gladney, you may need to be a father. Where with no preseason, which would be kindergarten through like 7th grade of football into competing against, Devontae Adams and then T.Y. Hilton and then the likes of Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley coming up soon, that ain't easy. And when you have no preseason games with a virtual offseason and you took some kind of injury-related L that required work in the offseason during the purge, it ain't going to start out fast. It didn't even start out fast for our beloved JJ, who continues to dominate rookie receivers in the best rookie receiver draft in the history of the NFL. Have I told you how much I love Jeff Gladney? Have I told you that lately? And I'm sure I will adore young Cameron Dantzler for many years. But Gladney and Boyd start as we go from here. That can't be changed. I mean, Boyd led the team in special teams tackles last year, and main man wants to mix it up on every single play. Chris Boyd's nuance-related work at sifting through the garbage to find players on screens or get away from those in space who are trying to mash on him, it's getting better at 100 miles per hour. I mean, Gladney's skill set not only is improving, but the red-hot defensive coordinator flexes him to deep safety, causes Foles to hold the ball a second and change longer, and it messed everything up. Gladney playing some safety, though. Permitted Harrison Smith and Eric Wilson to do things, for the most part, they hadn't done a majority of the season, and specifically had not done out of the off week where the Vikings have not lost. Zimmer and the non-obvious. If there's a greatest hits album, it would be believing in Vontaze Burfict and getting significant run. Griffin and Daniil inside at New Orleans. Sendejo at nickel for the first time in his career in the same game with 1 week to get it ready, and it worked. Little TCU flavor at deep safety to cause a Super Bowl MVP to get all twitchy. We, at this moment, may need a neutral site Wednesday heat check with Captain Cool just to see where Zimmer stands. Tom Brady, Bellamy Court, Tennessee. It's the midway point between Minneapolis and Tampa Bay. Wednesday, 6 p.m., heat check. Head coach, Minnesota Vikings. Seriously, though, what is happening right now only helps the process. And the process from where you, they, and we in the we covenant have been to where we are to hopefully where it's going, the process is the accurate and appropriate way to describe it. I mean, because it's been a freaking process. It's been a grind with all those kids on the back end, Samia taking L's, then he gets bit. Now you got Ezra Cleveland starting 4 games in a row. Baptism by fire, though. You got Grady Jarrett and Kenny Clark. And now you got Akeem Hicks before he messed up his hammy. So you got that kid at right guard. You got all those kids in the secondary. And they're getting hurt. So then they're moving in and out. Gladney is being raised as a nickel. But then he has to go outside and start. But when they go to nickel, he goes back inside. The process with the offense. The process to get the offense flowing the way it is now so the quarterback can throw players open like he did last night in his best game of the season. It what Zimmer is doing right now and what the Vikings are doing right now defensively, specifically with those no names up front. I mean, everybody in the world knows who Unique Ngakoue is, and he had 5 sacks. Not many know Ifeadi Odenigbo, DJ Wanham, Jalen Holmes, Hercules Mata'afa, Armin Watts, Shamar Stephen, and so on and so on and so on. But they listen to the best defensive line coach in the NFL, Andre Patterson. Andre Patterson, who molds players into excellent, excellent players and excellent performers. All these kids listen, so they may not be as speedy or as noteworthy or have as many followers on Twitter as a or Insta as a lot of people in the NFL. You may not know who they are, but they do it right with contain, with run stopping, and rushing. And in the ultimate team game, man, 11 on 11, that stuff makes a big, big difference. It's giving opposing offenses more on which to chew. You show the cover two, the quarters, the shells, and how you confused Aaron Rodgers on a windy Sunday at Lambeau Field. So then the next game against Bevel, he sees something he likes play one. So he's going to stretch it to Marvin Hall, Marvin Hall Jr. And Marvin is singled up against Boyd. Why wouldn't he be? It's Chris's first start. If I'm Bevel, I do the same thing. I'm going to set something up so I know I got single coverage against 2-9. The last time he had a 29 here, he got beaten single coverage. And Boyd stays with the speedster who scored a super long touchdown just 2 days ago against Washington, one of the all of a sudden more revered defenses in the NFL. And Boyd was confident, tenacious, and smart enough to knock it away. So you get single coverage on a guy making his first start and he comes through. You're flexing Gladney over to deep safety, so a former Super Bowl MVP holds the ball longer than he wants to and normally does. Supernatural at Soldier Field, man. And speaking of that, I mean, how about this for a parimutuel puzzler as the way this process has gone this season, which began with the dismantling of everything purple and gold, week number one against A-Rodg in Green Bay. We had the ball 18 minutes and change, which was ridiculous. We ran like 40 plays, maybe 38. Supernatural at Soldier Field. Last night, the Vikings ran 71 plays compared to just 48 for the Chicago Bears. The process is slowly coming together. Still don't have a 500 record. That should be taken care of Sunday. And then you win and win and win, and we'll see where this process takes us. Speaking of the process, the NBA draft is tomorrow night. Timberwolves head coach Ryan Saunders joins us next. It's 9. Paul Allen, how you been?
I'm great. I like the intro.
You like some Earth, Wind, and Fire, Philip? Man, give it to him.
Hey, fun fact, I've been to 3 Earth, Wind, and Fire shows.
Come on.
Is that serious?
Well, wait a second. Well, first of all, you got to get 10 more seconds because Philip Bailey's just killing it right now. And you're about ready to draft a shining star tomorrow night. Can't hide that love, can you? Boogie Wonderland.
You gotta love it.
Boogie Wonderland, if you get the right one. I mean, many, quote, reasons, end quote, to like, I don't know, man, I got a bunch of names. Hey, Ryan Saunders, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, old school, best school, joins us at 9:40. Good morning. What's been going on with you, man? You mentioned I've seen Earth, Wind, and Fire 3 times. I paused because I'm like, wow, pandemic purge. The arts, like going to even like going down to bunkers on Washington and watching the combo on Sunday or Monday night, or going to like an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert. It seems so far away, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, it seems like ages ago. And you know, you bring up bunkers. We had our rookie night there, you know, a little over a year ago right now. You know, as we were gearing up for, you know, season to start on time last year. So yeah, definitely makes you miss the days when you can do some things that felt more normal.
Hey, you doing all right, ma'am? You guys haven't played in what feels like 5 years. I mean, you got those teams in the bubble, and I thought the bubble was handled beautifully. I really, really enjoyed the NBA playoffs this year, but feels like you guys haven't played a game in about a year.
Yeah, well, it's because we haven't. and it feels longer for us. You know, we got guys, a lot of guys in town working right now. Guys are itching to go. They're ready. We're moving forward through a rapid offseason right now with the draft and free agency and obviously trades are, you're eligible to make trades now. And then you move right into the season. So it's a great challenge, but it's a challenge that we all enjoy as competitors.
Tight COVID protocol over there, I would imagine, right? I mean, it's just working with the football team and knowing what goes in to that facility and getting them on the road and getting them back and hoping, trying to not get people bit, with the way, like, numbers are going now and stuff, I would imagine very tight at the facility.
Yeah, we have incredibly tight protocols. The league has done a good job of giving guidance. We have a very strong medical department within our organization, and then our partnership with Mayo Clinic as well helps with all of that. So, it's a shared responsibility. We've been saying that a lot with our players, especially. But the COVID navigation, as a professional sports team, is a shared responsibility. Everybody has to try to do their part and try their best to keep as safe as possible. Unfortunately, it's everywhere. So, there's a lot of things that you have to be cautious of.
Hey, speaking of protocol, let me hit on this before I get a little later into this. Some specific players who are draftable beginning tomorrow night. I can, without you playing your hand, obviously, I can get a little intel on a few guys, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. I'm going to hold off on that because I'm really excited about it. now, speaking of the pandemic purge and not seeing people outside of Zoom and virtual and everything as long as you have, there, I would imagine from your standpoint, and certainly Gerson Rosas, but everybody with the team, you're going to get guys back here who you're like, whoa, you got better at that. And then on the other side, you're going to get some people back who are like, whoa, you cracked in the purge a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's all different levels of fitness, shape, how people may have spent their quarantine and their shelter in place. We're expecting those. And I think that, we're not the only team. We're not the only sports organization or program collegiately or even in high school that, knows that there's going to be challenges. We're big believers in controlling what you can control. And, that's one of the reasons we try to keep these guys engaged, and they've done a great job, the players, of, participating in a number of Zoom calls to try to better themselves away from the basketball court during this time, to try to help keep their minds right, keep focused and understand that we have a task, whenever we're called to play. And fortunately for us, that's within the next month.
NBA draft tomorrow night. Our favorite team has the 117-33 for now. So you got some significant ammo, you and Gerson, tomorrow night, buddy. How excited are you?
Yeah, it's exciting. Draft night's always exciting. It's unique, the fact that it's right before Thanksgiving. I hope this is the only time we're ever having to do it this way, this close to a season, but. It's a great challenge, but it's exciting. It's really exciting for our group to be able to have this type of capital, in the draft, be able to have plenty of options, and also, look forward to getting pieces, that can help us grow as we move forward with this group.
Ryan Saunders, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, NBA draft tomorrow night. We got the 117-33. From what you know now, from what you've seen, Ryan, in person or whatever, Jared Culver, what did Jared do to improve himself with the downtime?
Yeah, he looks stronger, for one. You just see him. He looks stronger, looks more mature, and that happens a lot of times, with a rookie. You get a little time away and they're able. Jared's a worker. I mean, he's the type of guy that you got to kick him out of the gym, cause he does work so hard. And then he's been, we've had a lot of late nights here at the facility lately getting ready for the draft, and he's always a guy who comes back, and he's down there shooting. So I'm able to see him, and he's been improving. And as we start to get to do more within live situations, obviously keeping safe, following protocols, he's competitive, and he knows that there's a lot of competition. So he's been rising the challenge, and I've been very happy watching him.
You think his ball handling has improved since the last time you saw him?
Yeah, I do, and I think people. It's hard sometimes to remember that a lot of these guys are so young, and Jarrett still has not played a full 82 game season, and not till whatever January, even into February, will he have played an 82 game season, because our season got cut short last year. And a lot of times that young players need that full time to really start grasping the speed, grasping the development aspects of the game. So we look forward to Jarrett making a jump this year.
Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations, been thinking about him the last 24 hours. Is he doing okay right now?
Yeah, he's good.
Well, the reason I ask, there are trades all over the NBA reportedly happening right now, and I just envision him laying in bed with visions of swaps bouncing around in his head. Like, guys, I want to be in the game too.
Hey, I don't really talk to Gerson. We're in here late at night. We're on Zooms late at night. So once he goes back to his house, we aren't necessarily talking, because we know that's a quick 2-3 hours for him and me to get some sleep, and then we'll be right back at it. So I can't speak to what he's thinking about when he's laying in bed there.
Is he's very good at his job, isn't he?
He is. He's extremely thorough. Our group. And Gerson would, if he was on speaking to you right now, he would acknowledge a lot of people within our front office, with Gianluca Pascucci, Joe Branch, Manny Rohan, Scott Layden. I mean, I could go down the list. Dr. Robbie Sika, Sagar Sarin. We have a number of people who spend a lot of time, studying players. And we're a very collaborative group that really looks to hear everybody's opinion. But be thorough and have evidence to back all that up.
So we got so Ryan, I mean, we've had some like reported trades involving some guys and stuff. So once they go official, and then we got the draft. I mean, is this going to be a walk up to the season in later December, where like we have an unbelievable amount of trades and stuff? And if so, why?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, but. You would think that, and I'm sure there's a number of people, not just there's people everywhere. I'm following one of our front office members, our executive vice president Sachin Gupta, had created the ESPN trade machine actually on ESPN.com. So I'm sure there's plenty of fans out there playing GM and looking at all the deals that can be made, and then I'm sure there's plenty of GMs that are itching to make deals too, so it's an exciting time.
How's Greg Farnham these days?
Greg Farnham's good. It's fun being around Greg, because I remember being around Greg since I was about 9 years old. So he's always taking great care of all of us.
And the reason I ask is because he's multifaceted. I mean,
yeah.
If he played for you, he'd have position flexibility. Be like, he'd be like KG, could shut down Michael Finley one night and then the next night body up to Tim Duncan. And why I ask about Greg is that with COVID protocol, yeah, and I know he works with operations, and he kind of works with everything. I mean, seriously, his life just must be brain boggling right now.
Yeah, he does a great job of balancing it, and he's a father, he's got a big family, so he's always taking care of them as well, which is we're a family environment, so it's something that we value here, seeing people like that. But between Greg and Dr. Robbie Sika, we have a great group here.
Yeah. What's LaMelo Ball's game like?
I think anybody who watches him sees the size, sees the ability to see the floor. He makes players around him better. So that's something that always in the NBA translates.
Can he shoot, or does he have that like weird Jamal Wilkes thing his brother has?
I think that like anyone, it would be a work in progress. But you know, there's a lot of players that have things that they need to clean up coming into the NBA. Cause speed of the game, speed of the shot. But you know, I've been really impressed with some of the things I have seen with his shooting, his range. So I think that's definitely something that people maybe aren't giving him enough credit for.
I've never seen George's Anthony Edwards play. What do you like?
I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, we got he's a guy who's got size. He's a guy who plays with force. So he definitely has tools that naturally fit in the NBA.
So do you think he's a two guard, a shooting guard, or a 2-3 in the NBA?
I think the two or three are the same thing in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think they're interchangeable. So I don't even list a guy as a 2 or a 3.
And the way you and Gerson want to do it, specifically with some offensive philosophical changes last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you need it used to be Robert Covington, and when he was in Houston, man, it'd be like Luke and Bahamute. But your corner guy to hit threes, I mean, that's Cat, right?
Yeah. I mean, Cat, hey, he's a 5 who shoots over 41% from 3. You know, he's able to score inside. He's able to score from the outside. So, you know, with that, you can create driving lanes, which is why we like guys, you know, multiple ball handlers. We like guys who can shoot. But we also understand, you know, there's big guys too. We need improvement in rim protection. We need improvement in rebounding. So, my point to all that is that we're a group that's very open-minded through this draft.
Well, and that could be the big guy, James Wiseman, right? I mean, is he that guy?
Hey, he's a guy who can do a lot of those things, and this draft does have a lot of talent, and I think that we've been able to spend, you know, 9 months going through all of this just within the really deep dives on top of everything that was already done. So we'll definitely be in great position. It's fun being at the top of the draft, controlling it too.
I'm giggling because seriously, how much all 10 college basketball did you watch during the pandemic purge and the quarantine? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is more than I've ever been able to be a part of a draft because Tom afforded that. So it was fun for me to really dive in, but it was also good for me, you know, to learn these guys. I feel whoever we, you know, acquire through this draft, we would be able to speed them up in terms of the onboarding process, in terms of in terms of knowing their game, because we've been able to dive so deep into these guys. So it's definitely helped me.
Those last one, Ryan, I appreciate you, man. Those three names are like internet-wide obvious guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. If I hit on one, cool. If I didn't, that's fine, too. What about 17? Is that, like, say you keep that middle of the first round, what's good about that spot?
There's a great pool of talent, a great pool of upside. A lot of guys who also can fit, you know, how we want to play. So I'm sure you can tell, you know, I'm excited. It's definitely, it's a fun time. I'm ready to get back and competing. I'm ready to get back with these guys and ready to see what we have as we move to camp on December 1st.
Yeah, but you know, this is the last year you want the one.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you never want to be, you know, there, but you're right. It's my dad always used to say that having the number one pick, you know, even though you don't necessarily want to be in the lottery, it's a day you can look towards for hope, because a lot of times that's a game changer, game changing type player that comes in.
Hey, last one, I promise. The work you guys did with D'Angelo Russell last year, I thought was fantastic. Loved him when he played on or off the ball with Brooklyn. Kind of a weird fit with Steph and Golden State, but with you guys. Yeah. Do you think D'Angelo is at his best off the ball or running the offense?
Yeah, I think he's a guy who can do both, and that's one of the reasons we've liked him for so long. The fact that he's able to move off the ball, I think when we had some of our best wins of the year, we were able to do that with him late in games. But he's also one of the best passers in this league and best playmakers. So his ability to pick guys apart and pick and rolls and play in those actions, you know, especially with a guy like Cat, who, you know, a lot of times people forget, they only played, you know, about 22 minutes together last year, played one game in Toronto. And that was right at the beginning of when we acquired D'Angelo. So we're really looking forward to this season, really looking forward to what we can have and what we can put out there.
Hey, ma'am. I always love our chats. Can't wait for the next one. Best of luck tomorrow night. Tell Greg I say hello and have a wonderful day, okay?
Hold on. Hold on. You're not going to ask me about the Vikings?
Well, it's still your favorite team. I mean, I thought after we lost to Atlanta, I thought no. You hurt your knee because you jumped off the bandwagon.
No, I would never do that. I would never do that. They will always be my favorite team, and I'm pumped that we're rolling a little bit right now.
Okay.
It was a great win.
Okay, well, I gave you Earth, Wind, and Fire, so you give me your best 20 seconds on this. Ready? 3, 2. Joining us now is noted Minnesota Vikings historian Ryan Saunders. The Vikings have won 3 in a row. Ryan, thanks for joining us, and what'd you like about last night's win?
Well, I was able to catch little bits and pieces because we do have a lot going on with the draft, so I was pretty focused on that. But I liked the fact that we were able to make plays downfield.
Yes,
and we were able to finish our defense too.
All right, I gave you that platform to talk about the purple and gold. Now you got to tell me who you're taking at one.
No, yes. No, we're open for business.
Of course, I know. Hopefully, the president of basketball operations can sleep, man. He's all twitchy. Everybody's trading, and he's like, "What's happening?"
No, he's not twitchy at all. He's very calm. He's very relaxed. We're ready for tomorrow.
I can't wait to watch you guys play. Thank you.
Sounds great. Later, Pete.
Ryan Saunders, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Back to the suddenly surging Minnesota Vikings. We talked about some defensive positives, some offensive positives, some L's and lamentations will be shared next segment. Then the analyst, Pete Bursich, joins.
Skull Stories.
Yeah, we got some Skull Stories to begin the second hour of the presentation. It's Paul Allen from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. Master mixer of the Monday morning montage on a Tuesday, Eric Nordquist, with wonderful paper lace-related work to begin the radio show. Podcast that when you get the opportunity. We think you'll like it. Tied the Vikings. It was patented 9-0 montage the night Chicago died. A victory over the Chicago Bears. Only the fourth victory from the last 19 at Soldier Field. Zimmer's like, what happened? I got 3 of those. I mean, so Zimmer, 15, 17, 20, 20, has found a way to twist the supernatural and all of the surrendering at Soldier Field. We referenced an hour ago the absolute common thread that has Dalvin Cook-esque importance for a team that is and wants to be suddenly surging. The Minnesota Vikings defense. First 6 games, they gave up 32 points per game. Last 3, 18 points per game. Simplification, the deception, things are just starting to turn around with these kids growing up. On the other side of it, there are L's and lamentations. There are things to lament. Of course there are. I mean, you ain't going to go an entire game with perfection no matter who you play. L's and lamentations. Let's begin with this. Dan Bailey is set to boom it away to Cordarrelle Patterson, and boom! Second half of Monday Night Football is in the air. Here comes Cordarrelle 5 yards deep. He heads to the right side, zings by a Viking at the 30, gets to the 40, jumps right, and there goes Flash! Right into the record books! Touchdown, Bears! That is the 8th return touchdown in the career of Cordarrelle Patterson, tying Josh Cribbs and Leon Washington for a National Football League record, and Flash has run the Bears to the lead.
Come on!
Jerkass!
What?
That's right.
What's your language in front of the lady, punk?
L's and lamentations need to be done because we are hot and definitely have a chance to make the playoffs. Cordarrelle Patterson, 104. Special teams, though. R.I.P. Marwan Maloof's right ear. Oof. I mean, that was a lambasting on the sideline. Zim cracked in the purge. It's the only way to look at it. I don't know what the heat feels like in an intense situation where you start 1-5, and then now you got some special teams related common threads over the last three games that are providing L's and things over which we can lament. Zimmer cracking in the purge, RIP Maloof's right ear. It's Zim being Zim, pissed off, berating a coach after Patterson went yard. Caught on TV. Had to be the, quote, why the bleep do we ever kick to him? End quote. And if that's accurate, that would be the right thing to say. Because, like, I'm watching it wondering, why would we ever kick the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, if he goes 100 miles per hour, you're going to get 103 with that horsepower by one of the great, if not the greatest, kick returners in the history of the NFL. So then we bang one 104 straight down the field. Metellus takes an L. Great move by Patterson when he gets clear, and then, like, he's not going to beat Dan Bailey. Come on. And then there was, like, a line drive to Cordarrelle Patterson that could have done some damage, too. Oof. It's like, what are we doing here? So special teams is providing lamentation. There is some lamenting with the Minnesota Vikings special teams right now. The long snapper seems to have lost his confidence. And I haven't talked to young Austin in weeks, but, I mean, if that's the case, he's such a wonderful, wonderful kid. It would just be so sad if he's lost his confidence for whatever the reason. But, I mean, with all due respect, you're trying to win games. There are problems that are transpiring, and the young man is at the forefront of most of these problems. Think about it. I mean, you go back to the game at Lambeau. Colquitt saved a high snap at Lambeau, and the only reason the extra point was not blocked was because of Dalvin Cook. Because Dalvin broke the spirit of everything defensively green and gold, and that includes Mike Pettine. Cutting with a high snap, Colquitt saves it, takes like an hour to get it down. Josh Jackson and some other L's for the Packers are like, what happened? They're just standing there.
Josh Jackson has blocked Vikings kicks in the past, I believe, as well.
Right. 3-7, hands on hips, like, what happened? Why is the ball up there? Oh, I should run. But it was too late. Bailey banged it through. But that was a thing. And that was like, all right, we'll be okay. Now, I mean, FICA Fairness and Cutting Act, the kid was terrific all year last year and through the first six this year. We've had a purge crack, and I can't explain why. But it seems to me the young man who's on the quiet side is lacking confidence while executing his toil. Colquitt dribbled one to Britton versus Detroit. Bailey misses the extra point. I mean, the sucker rolled back there like we're playing bocce ball. Happened. Rolled one again last night. Colquitt threw a pass, which was adorable, but it was a little LOL-ish. The second-year long snapper rolled one back in duck pins-like bowling fashion for you old schoolers. Nothing Britton could do with that, and Britton's won a Super Bowl. Britton got to throw a pass. It was a little LOL-ish. Of course, the speedy Penn State track guy, Dan Chisena, steps on the freaking goal stripe for a touchback on a perfect Colquitt punt. I mean, it's perfect. Britton Colquitt had not had a touchback in a regular season game since he played for the freaking Cleveland Browns. He had two last night, a week after two punts were blocked. R.I.P. Marwan Maloof's right here. Getting screamed at on national television. So, Chisena, I mean, with all due respect, he's on the team for one reason, to play special teams. I think early in the season against Tennessee, they flexed him wide right for an offensive play, and I'm like thinking to myself, I wonder if Mr. Vrabel knows that Chisena does one thing with 4-2 speed and has probably run down the field. And I think that's the only time we saw him out there offensively. So, Chisena with an L last night, but it's lacking awareness for where your heel is and just the particulars and the perfection that goes into a suddenly surging team. A team that knows where it has been and doesn't like it. a team that knows where it is and likes it, and a team that thinks it knows where it's going and definitely can cast its gaze the way of positivity. So we got the Chisena heel trick. We got cutting for a second, for a third consecutive week playing bocce ball with a football. We got Britton Colquitt throwing passes, and Dan Bailey missed an extra point last week. And fortunately, Dalvin Cook broke Josh Jackson's spirit, and the Packers didn't think it was important to rush in on an extra point on a high snap where Josh Jackson's like, what happened? Josh Metellus, though, fumble recovery as Dwayne Harris muffs a punt, takes a fat L. Nagy and a special teams guy, they get bored with Harris, who has four punt return touchdowns in his career, 11th year East Carolina, used to be good. They get bored with him. He muffs a punt. Metellus, there's 4-4 diving on it. Metellus got shaken on by Cordero on the 104, but this rookie, with no preseason, leads the Minnesota Vikings in special teams tackles. Metellus is coming together quickly. And in Gladney-esque fashion, it potentially, all facets of the young man's game could go the other way after Davante Adams scorched him back left at Lambeau and then told him about it. I'm like, Devontae, what are we doing here? It's Josh Metellus. First play in a National Football League game, and oh, by the way, you're elite, and it was against you. But outside of the L's and the lamentations, Metellus is coming together nicely on special teams. Too many offensive holding infractions for my liking last night, but against that front seven, one that has beaten you up in fist fights four consecutive games, I guess it's going to happen. And the referee, Scott Novak, his crew calls 10 penalties a game. That is by far the fewest of any crew in the National Football League. So if you hold, you really must be holding for Novak's group to throw that flag. We got three of those last night. Those guys let you play. Much on which to chew with the analyst Pete Bursich around the corner, but first.
The Fan and Wixon Jewelers want to put a grand in your hand, give you a shot to win $1,000 with the National Cash Contest. This hour's keyword is bank. Text bank to 200-200. Text bank to 200-200. Text message
to the Fan.
Vikings have three players, including Harrison Smith, 40 yards from the line of scrimmage. It is 4th and 10 from the Bears' 38. Tyler Bray with a deep drop. He'll pass to the left and threw a knuckleball to absolutely nobody. And the Vikings have turned the Bears over on downs, and the anti-Vike, known as Soldier Field, has been neutralized.
I'm not made of stone.
Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs next year. I'll tell you that right now.
The Analyst.
What a sound for sore ears and a sight for sore eyes. He is Pete Bursich, analyst for the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And Peter, former player in the NFL, has won games at Soldier Field. He is a Chicago native, part of a Vikings team that from 97 to 2000, four consecutive times, good teams there, never lost at Soldier Field. You were there in 07 when Peterson did Peterson things. Mm-hmm. And Hester in the double move does Hester things.
Oh, boy.
Longwell walked off 5-5. You were there 2015. Main man Marcus with a punt return touchdown. Blair with three field goals. We win. 2017, Bradford taps out. Zimmer reluctantly inserts Case Keenum.
Exactly, yeah.
And we win that game.
Right.
And then yesterday, Zimmer holds, granted, an awful offense, which I can't say I've ever seen a team desperately need a bye more than that team.
Right.
And what we saw last night, you know, the Vikings, they gave up 32 points a game the first six. It's been 18 the last three against Rodgers, Stafford, and Foles, Super Bowl MVP, 5-2, but nevertheless, Nick Foles, professional quarterback. But to that bye point for a second, I'm serious with that. I mean, with 2020 from March to where we are now, the virtual offseason, no preseason games, no fans, You're at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center with me at least twice a week. So we see the protocol and our little areas there and everything the Vikings are doing to keep people safe so they don't get bit and they can get through this season. And, you know, the Vikings have had a bye. So you can, like, at least for an hour go, you know, no playbook, no practice, whatever. The Bears get their bye this week. And that's just so late in the season during a purge. And good morning.
Yeah, good morning. When's the last time we won in both Lambeau and in Chicago?
Full down Chicago beer.
And it figures
2017.
So the 1 year that we don't travel happens again. That's too bad because that would have been fun.
Yeah, I don't know about you, man, but
to just be in those stadiums when the fans are walking out and they're all upset. That's the best ever.
With no fans at these games.
It's the best ever.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I'm happy doing what we're doing right now. And the team's winning.
Is what it is, right?
You messed up Abbott's back. You feel okay about that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, Abbott, executive producer, Vikings Radio Network. There was a covert, deceptive side poking last night, 5 minutes before the game. The executive producer.
That's what I asked him. I said, are you just saying that?
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God, I'm late. Well,
that's why I gave you Joe Friedberg's cell phone at midnight last night.
I don't think that.
Well, we got a pinched nerve and he can't feel his foot.
So how's that different? He could have slipped on his way to the fridge last night.
Very good point.
You know what I mean?
Sure. That's why I gave you Uncle Joe Friedberg's phone number.
Uh-huh.
That Bears offense, you know, Barrero watches more Bears than me. He jumped me a couple of times last week saying, this Bears offense is worse than you think it is. I'm doing Chicago radio with Waddle and Sylvie. You know, they think I'm going Lou Holtz on it, being like, yeah, I mean, you lost your right tackle and your left guard. Tariq Cohen, you know, he's not that big of a game changer, but when you fake the jet sweep, he's fast and you have to account for him. He scored the only touchdown against the Vikings at Soldier Field last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom Waddle was like, you know, Paul, you don't get it. Over the last 32 games, they've done this, this, and this. And a lot of those guys have been playing. So I'm like, whoa. And then we saw it, and I'm like, whoa, you guys are right.
Well, they had problems with the offensive line last year, mainly the guard position, and they did nothing in the offseason to address it. Nothing. You know, they brought in a tight end.
Yeah, well, they signed Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah.
Jermaine Ifedi played last night, by the way, and I forgot he played. We didn't even say his name once.
No, not once, but they're a disaster up front. As bad as they were and all this and that, if Anthony Miller catches that pass, it's a whole different game.
Right.
You know what I mean? You come away from that game, and you know, the fans in Chicago and everybody, they're just slamming the Bears. They're terrible or this, they're that. You know, they got one first down, I think, the whole second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fingertips.
And they hang...
Fingertips from going ahead after a PAT.
They hang their hats on defense, and rightfully so. A lot of very good players there. First in the NFL in third down conversions. I think the Vikings went like 7 of 12 on third down. Got some scores in the red area, able to put Justin on a big game. That's
the thing to watch. I mean, that's what happened last year, is the defense finally said, forget this, we're tired of carrying everybody. And then they just went, you know, then they just fell apart.
Yeah. But
defensively, they're still a damn good team. I mean, if there's one thing, I know talking with Rosie in the postgame show, it was how good, I mean, I feel really, really good about our offensive line. You know, Olin Kruntz was talking, we were talking during the week, and one of the things that he brought up was...
Was Dominic Raiola not available?
No. But he was commenting on Ezra Cleveland and saying how well he was playing at guard. And so you finally got a young guy. I mean, we just cut a third rounder, right?
Yeah.
So here we finally have a guy, a third, fourth, or fifth rounder. Our whole defensive line is full of guys that were third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders that are all playing and playing well. Finally, we have an offensive lineman that's not a first-round pick that's playing well, which is great. So, but that group up front, man, they're playing really, really well. And every film or everything you watch with the Bears, their defensive line played on the other team's side of the line of scrimmage. And you didn't see that much at all last night. And that allowed Dalvin to, you know, not that he broke anything big without a holding penalty, but at least allowed him to bounce outside. At least gave him a cutback. I mean, mm-hmm. What they did with Tennessee was amazing. They stopped. They shut that zone. They shut that down very, very well. And
I think
we were
Derrick Henry had like 60,
68 yards, yeah. I think. And so, so for our offensive line to do those things with that group, because it's a deep group, it's a good group. Our linebackers are the two best as a pair. You're going to be hard pressed to find a group that's better right now than
Mack and Roquan
Smith and Trevathan.
And put Dan and Khalil Mack.
Well, as an outside linebacker, absolutely. But the
what
inside,
about Robert Quinn? When did he used to be good?
I don't know.
I think he had 20 sacks 1 year, close to it with like St. Louis.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that used to be good, we're going to see one this week in Aldon Smith. And oh my God, is he awful?
Is he awful now?
Awful.
Okay, now hold on.
I know he might have started on fire the whole thing, but
wow,
I watched him against the Steelers.
Whoa,
he was awful.
You're down the road on the film, aren't you?
Awful.
Holy cow, old Aldon Smith hadn't played in like 4 years. Yeah, they got
five, I think.
Yeah. That's Sunday, shortly after 3 o'clock on the vast and ever expanding Vikings Radio Network. So Mike Zimmer's on a roll. I mean, I think he's on a roll with the simplification that you and Ben touched on a little bit in the Green Bay game, a lot more in the Lions game. You guys know more about it than me. I gravy train the takes and go with the cover two, the quarter, the shells, the simplification. Not necessarily dramatically more conservative, but it has been. But the simplification, which clearly has helped Gladney and Boyd and Eric Wilson and some other newbies. Now, you and Lieber, specifically you, were on it hard last night. And I think it's a wonderful part of the process moving forward. So now you're Bill Lazor, welcome in the water's warm. You're Matt Nagy. And you're seeing the last two games out of the bye. And now Zimmer gets blitz crazy, you know, because he's like, Foles, Stafford wiggles a little bit. A-Rodge is lethal outside of the pocket. This guy ain't beating me deep down the field with these receivers, and he can't move. So I'm going back up my sleeve and bringing those Zimmer blitz tricks.
You're right. And again, when you blitz, there's so many things to it. First of all, you got to concoct it, make it, install all the adjustments. Then you have to practice it. Then you have to go out there during the game and execute it.
Yeah.
And execute it well. And you don't see in the NFL, you blitz like to get an Anthony Barr one-on-one with the running back. Right, you're gonna scheme a blitz to say, okay, we know they're gonna turn their center this way. We're gonna send Anthony Barr over here. He should be one-on-one with the running back. That's a matchup that we're gonna win 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. You're seeing free runners to the quarterback.
Yeah,
you don't see that very often.
Like Harrison when he didn't even get there, but he forced Foles into an out.
And then later on in the game, he walks up to the line of scrimmage and acts, you know. And so all of a sudden, now the quarterback's looking here. You know, there's this guy over here, and they've executed all that stuff very well. And I think that's the other thing that's changing. With this group, you have 11 guys who are out there doing their own job, not doing their job plus somebody else's or trying mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. They're all just doing their role. You don't have any ego up front that says, oh, I'm sick and tired of running this stunt because it just frees up somebody else. I want to get, you know. No, they're all playing very well together as a unit.
Right.
I think Eric Kendricks is a huge part of that. Eric Wilson is being totally benefiting from this system where they require, you know, he's the guy that gets to do a lot of that fancy and fun stuff.
Yeah.
Harrison Smith is back there with Anthony Harris, and they're just kind of orchestrating what goes on in front. Communication's better. We saw, Paul, you remember the beginning of the year, you saw wide open runners, right? Guys down the field, wide open, meaning they were trying, you play some zone, then you try to mini package it and play man in the zone and match up to routes. You know, you tailor your zone coverages to match up certain routes. Mm-hmm. You try to be a little bit too perfect, and you kind of just have to sit back and say, you know what, we're going to have to give up maybe this or be weak here or there. But there's, like Tony Dungy would say, as long as you know that's the weak spot of the defense, you can at least rally and you're not going to get killed by it.
Right.
So because he would talk about it all the time. He said you could try to call it perfectly, but then have your players not execute it all perfectly, or you can be simple about it, have some holes in what you do, but the players execute it. And he said, I look back in my career and the games that we lost, the big plays were defenses that were not executed.
Right.
Mental errors, those kinds of things. So he would shy away from a very complicated game plan and I think they're kind of seeing that over there with defensively. Just solid, right? Just a very solid game plan. Not a lot of big mistakes. No one taking the ball and getting to the second level, running it, and then no one being there. You know, like we saw against Detroit. I mean, you're not seeing those huge errors. They're moving the chains now.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the game, Bears, you know, they were moving the chains, and then you get to the red zone and tighten things up. And
Bill Lazor, though.
You know, they're much more mistake-free. And it's working.
The voice of Vikings Radio Network analyst Pete Bursich, 14 years by my side calling Minnesota Vikings games, former player and coach for the football team, too. Speaking of Eric Wilson, I want to ask you a question about him. Get more into Justin Jefferson, Chris Boyd, and Jeff Gladney around the corner. Second half of the presentation begins now. Foles goes out of the shotgun. Veteran Lamar Miller to his right. Allen Robinson wide right. Opposite Harrison Smith up on the line. Harry backs off now. Foles takes the snap. And is sacked! Back at the 23-yard line by DJ Wonnum. DJ Wonnum with 3 sacks this season. And the Bears are punting.
Bursich, the voice of the Vikings. Bursich.
Charge. Fantasy pickup joint, 15 minutes from now.
Charge.
What do you mean?
I just say it that way.
Why?
Charge.
Yeah, Charge is the co-host of the Friday Football Feast, Old School, Best School.
Yeah, I know.
Done it for 11 years.
Yeah, all right.
He'll be on the radio at 11 o'clock to help you with your fantasy football team.
Fabulous.
Like if you have individual defensive players, people take in fantasy football, and some people do that. Eric Wilson would be a defensive fantasy football feast because he's got a lot of everything, which leads me to this question. Now, you know more about linebacking than 99.6% of people listening now will ever know, and that includes me. Is Eric Wilson playing Anthony Barr's spot with Barr out for the year?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how come? What's the reason Wilson has all these splashy TFLs, interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, and all of that, and Barr never had it?
That's a very, very good question, Paul. I think a lot of the plays, like the interception in Indianapolis, that was just a hustle play.
Mm-hmm.
He hustles. He runs hard. He plays hard. I'm not saying that Anthony Barr didn't. But Kendricks is just getting himself. I'm sorry, not Kendricks, but Wilson's getting himself in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. Last night, he walks up the blitz. He comes in. He draws Charles Leno Jr. down. That means if Fadi Adenabo is unblocked.
Right.
So what does he do? He knows he's not just going to go bury himself into a pass rush. He stops.
Yeah.
He did his job.
Oh, and he deflected
and
the ball.
And then he jumped up. Yeah, he mirrored the quarterback and jumped up and deflected the ball.
When you pointed that out, that was high.
Yeah. So that's why he's making those plays, is because he's smart. He's playing within the system. He's smart. And do not underestimate the number of plays that are made because he hustles his ass off. Mm-hmm. He and Kendricks both run to the football. That was one of the things I loved about Eric Kendricks from day one. That kid ran, never gave up, ran. The amount of effort that they play with, puts him in position to make a lot of plays. It's just Eric Wilson. Can he do what Anthony Barr can do? No. Very few people in the world can do what Anthony Barr can do. He can, as a pass rusher, he can destroy people. I always go back to the Giants game at home. I don't know if it was 2-3 years ago. They put a tight end in for protection. Anthony Barr blitzed off the edge and just launched a tight end, knocked the guy out.
Evan Engram.
You don't knock out 285-pound guys very often.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Wilson's not going to do that. So Anthony is gifted in a way that very few people are. It's just a matter of, again, you have to fit in the right scheme and play the right way and know how to use it. And I think, I think in that respect, Eric Wilson's a little bit more of a conventional-type player, whereas Anthony Barr is a bit of a freak, meaning he can do so many different things. He try to create and do maybe different things with it. But you know, from a zone coverage standpoint, I think that's where I think Eric is come a long way. You know, he's come a long way in his pass coverage.
And a mile.
Yeah.
And remember Oakland last year when he got lost on Darren Waller?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, it was like,
so he's come a long way in that respect. You know, that's good for him. I mean, he's undersized. That's going to be his challenge. He's not beefy like, and that's the thing with Kendricks is he's thick.
Yeah.
And so he could take the beating.
Thick and fast.
Right. He can take the beating. He's a rarity. Eric is not as big, but man, he's dynamic and he's great in space.
Okay. Now, young Cam Dantzler, highly touted off some things he did in training camp. I've chatted with some members of the offense off the microphone who were like, I mean, if you're there at every practice watching every play with Dantzler, he like knocked everything away almost every single time, you know, and then some people would see it and it would go to Twitter and get splashy. Young Cameron had some problems early in the season and then he got hurt. So say Dantzler is ready to come back, like say for the Dallas game. I mean, Boyd and Gladney don't move. I mean, they don't lose, well, to Gladney for sure, but Boyd does not lose his spot, correct?
I don't think so. I mean, I you know, even with Chris Jones and some of the things that he's done, he's getting better. I mean,
right.
For Dantzler has to mature, and I'm not talking about as a person. I'm talking about physically.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's big, he's long. We know that they like that about him. But when asked to, I go back, I think, I don't know if it was a Tennessee game or whatever game it was two plays in a row where he rallied up and made tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next play, the guy ran by him for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's like there you can't make two good plays in a row and then take a breath.
Right.
Not in this, you know, not in the NFL. And he's you know, the concussions and all that, that's about stability of the neck and the shoulders and all. He just has to, he needs an offseason to lift his rear end off, put some good weight on, and then come back next year. And I think he'll be a lot more durable. That's my pet peeve with players. I mean, even with Irv Smith Jr., it's like, God, you had two touchdowns last week and now you're out with a groin.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. You know, you can't take it to that next level unless you're out there. Gladney is getting better week after week after week. Why? Because he's on the field week after week after week. That's how you get better, is by being out there and experience and getting the experience and learning what it's like throughout the course of a game and how things change and, you know, situational awareness when you know, late in the game, and the team, like last night with the Bears, right at the end, and they might have had a shot at a Hail Mary. There's a whole package of things that you have to learn, know, and understand for those situations as well. And you're not going to learn them when you're not on the field. So right now, with the way the team is playing, I'd say Cameron, welcome back. You're going to get, you know, you're going to spell some people here and there.
Yeah,
but I don't see how you can just anoint him unless he's that much better than the guys that you have out there. But I think those guys have solidified their spots.
So
don't go messing with it.
That special teams piece for rookie corners, if you can afford to do it, and they did it with Trey Waynes, and he led the team in special teams tackles. Now, you know, Trey's ball skills left a little to be desired, with all due respect, but as a tackling corner, he was very good.
Yeah.
Chris Boyd led the team in special teams tackles last year. I mean, I watched back a few plays last night, and the way he's sifting himself through the garbage, anticipating, you know, where he has to go on a screen and to get out wide, it's natural. And Zimmer liked him at the end of the year last year because of the work he was doing on the scout team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I can see it bear its fruit because he's just a very good tackler.
And that was the Bears were a perfect type of team for a guy like him because they throw so many quick passes on the outside, and that's what they are. They try to turn it into it's a long handoff, trying to make it a punt return.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it one of the first plays. It happened right in the near side of the field from where the camera was, and he came up and just blew the whole thing up, and it went for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do. You got to be, it's like a punt return. You got to know, you have gaps, right? You have gaps that you have to fit. And even if you're a corner and you're rushing up, you have to know what side of the receiver you need to be on and turn him into your help. And so he gets that. That's special teams. And outside of that unit, there's still some things on that end of it that need to be fixed, mainly with the kickoff coverage and the long snapping. I think will figure itself out. But I mean,
Austin, it's three games in a row now.
Can we just not have to sweat through a special team snap.
Yeah, I mean, and we have said that so infrequently for so long. But, I mean, as I shared earlier, we had the high-stint snap at Lambeau, the dribble on the Bailey missed extra point against Detroit, then a dribbler where Colquitt's throwing a pass last night. So I'm guessing, because I'm not chatting with Austin, I'm just guessing he's lost some confidence and just needs to rebuild it, you know?
Absolutely. So just do your job. Snap.
Yeah.
They make it look easy, and it's not as easy as they make it look, but.
Well, who am I with? Don Muehlbach here?
I'm just saying, you have.
Bradford Banta?
But think, you say that.
Kinda, JP LaDuceur.
You say that, and you chuckle, but you do realize that, Muehlbach is probably making $1.5 million.
Maybe.
He's been in the league how long? 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the minimum salary is for a guy who's been in the league for 18 years?
About one and change.
Yeah. Like one and a half, or if not more.
Yeah.
So you're paying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you could just draft, just draft a guy, replace him. You're saving yourself $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. That's how important he is.
Well, and Muehlbach.
That is how important they are.
You were a coach for the Vikings, man, back in like 02 or 03. Muehlbach's seventh game from Texas A&M. Vikings are at Ford Field. And I think it was Joey Harrington who drove them down the field to a dramatic touchdown to like Roy Williams. They're going to tie the game. And Muehlbach, the rookie, dribbles one back to Nick Harris. Winfield blows up the holder punter.
Yeah.
And we win the game. Now, that would be like somebody should bring that up to Cutting and be like, okay, this happened here. So main man was a wreck. Oh, by the way, he was a wreck 17 and a half years ago, scooping chips for 17 and a half.
Right. No, and that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let me close with this.
All right.
In the last three games, all victories for the Vikings. Define, give your opinion, Kirk Cousins' role in all of this.
He had a much bigger role last night, which was great to see. It was great to see him, keep himself clean. You know, his jersey was good and clean. That's good. Good to see. But he played. Yeah, he was much more a part of the offense last night, especially in a third down pass to Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, is just. I mean, the kid just catches everything you throw at him. Yeah. I mean, Adam Thielen even had the yips a little bit last night. He makes the unbelievable grab, and then have two more that you should have. Anyway. But Jefferson is outstanding. But yeah, Cousins had a bigger role last night
and he came through.
And that's last night was the balance that you need, that you want, because you didn't have to have, you had Dalvin Cook getting 3-4 yards a carry. That's what you needed to get the third manageable.
Yeah.
And then you have some options, and you did that last night. That was I think when you talk about the balance between Dalvin Cook, Cousins, and the wide receivers, last night was it. That was the perfect balance. I mean, you didn't put a ton of points on the board. I mean, you didn't get to 30 something, but that the amount, the balance with the passing and the running and how they all played, I mean, that was ideal. So the 2 weeks prior to that, he didn't get much work. And then, like I said, I don't know how long Dalvin's going to last running the ball 206 yards a game. The Dallas Cowboys are struggling against the run, so this looks like another big Dalvin week, right?
30 carries last night.
Yeah, 30 carries, and it's a big workload for him. And I'm just going by what we've seen in the past, that at some point you're going to have to lighten that. There's going to have to be a game or two where he gets the ball 15, 20 times, and that's it. Just to take some of that off him. But we'll see. I mean, again, you're not in a position, though, right now. You can't lose. You know, you have five losses. You put yourself behind the eight ball. Every week is a must win. So just run them and worry about it down the road.
My man, can't wait to do some film work with you today at TCOPC. And call the game next Sunday shortly after 3 o'clock. Vikings and them boys, the Cowboys.
The boys.
Thank you, bud.
What a mess.
Pete Bursich, analyst for the Vikings Radio Network. Final hour of the Talker Tuesday presentation. Sans Vikings Tribulation begins with Paul Charchian and the Fantasy Pickup Joint. And that's next.
A Fan.
Take me to John.
Junior,
my God, help me get out of
line. 9 to noon.
Take me to charge.
Charge.
What's going on, Chargy? What's up, buddy?
Hi. I'm still feeling good coming off a Viking win last night.
Yeah, it was a nice victory. The defense out of the bye, giving up 18 points a game, 32 the previous six. I'm going to get more into this probably in the next segment about the quarterback's role in what we are seeing, Green Bay, Detroit to last night. And I'm not going to step on my touchdown call now. I'm just going to say it involves the fact I would love to be at a dice table, a craps table with Kirk Cousins. And I'm just going to leave it at that because when the 7-out is coming, yet you know when the 45-minute roll is coming. And you just kind of want to be there with that. But the Vikings quarterback, what'd you think last night?
I thought he was poised, Paul. And, you know, you usually can tell in the first quarter which version of Kirk, first series many times, which version of Kirk you're going to get. And we got a calm, effective version of Kirk that looked mostly unflappable. And, you know, Paul, I think back to when Kirk got here and when he was signed and, you know, the polarizing nature of this quarterback. And originally the Kirk haters told us Kirk can't beat good teams. Until he did beat good teams. And then the Kirk haters said, Kirk can't beat good teams on the road. Until he did beat good teams on the road. And then the haters said, Kirk can't beat good teams on the road in nationally televised games. Until he did beat good teams on the road in nationally televised games. And then the Kirk haters said, well, Kirk can't win specifically on Monday night. Sunday night, sure, but not on Monday night. Until he did last night. And the Kirk haters tell us he can't win a playoff game until he did win a playoff game. And so already on Twitter, you know, my followers, many of whom hate Kirk, have moved the goalpost to its final resting place, Paul, the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because there's nowhere left for them to go.
Yeah.
Now it is Super Bowl or die. Yeah. Dozens of people last night whose Kirk hate runs so deeply through their veins, they... In the aftermath of the game, they can't even enjoy a win for their favorite team. Instead, they've got to move the goalpost to the Super Bowl. They will never, ever accept Kirk Cousins until he meets the highest possible standard for any player, the Super Bowl. So that's where I think we are now with the Kirk haters, now that he's broken the Monday night curse.
Well, there also are ardent lifetime cousin supporters who supported him in Pop Warner football in Barrington, Illinois. And when he moved to Holland, Michigan, they loved him in eighth grade and said, look, this guy's going to be a star. They loved him in East Lansing. They loved him in Landover, Maryland, and now they love him in Minneapolis. The ardent Kirk followers also told me, I swear, he's never going to start a game against a winless team by throwing it to Deion Jones. I swear that's never going to happen. And then it happened, and I'm like, what happened? Why'd we do that?
Yes. And it,
so
and
what look, I'm getting not, at is there's that side of him too, obviously.
And there is. And I'm not saying that Kirk is an elite quarterback, that he is Patrick Mahomes. I'm not. I'm just saying, please, can you just enjoy the wins that he provides? Appreciate the fact that we have a far better quarterback than what the Bears would take and many teams would take. And he's not somebody that is single-handedly destroying your favorite team. And I really pity these people who can't enjoy a win because Kirk contributed to the effort.
Andrew Kramer, who covers the Vikings for the Star Tribune, does really good work. I saw a tweet of his like 2 hours ago paraphrasing. Cousins has 7 fourth-quarter touchdowns this season, trails only Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Okay, so that's glitzy and good out of the gate. There are some garbage time, like Green Bay-esque, Atlanta-esque type yards and touchdowns. But it can't be denied that he has made big third down plays and big late game plays when he's had to, when the game has been in the balance. I mean, he did it at Seattle. Granted, they lost, and he's come through on third down for the last month.
Yes, Paul. You know, last night, third down, he completed 10 of 11 passes on third down, Paul.
Right.
And, you know, not every one of those was for a first down. There were a few of those, you know, ones that I hate on the third down where, you know, you go half the distance to the sticks and you don't get there. But, you know, I don't know. I think that people think that he's not a clutch performer. And, you know, I get that he's not the sort of guy that's just like, you know, rally the troops around me and I'm going to, you know, rah, rah, do whatever it takes to win. He doesn't really have kind of that built into him, but it's not fair to say he's not a clutch performer either. We, you know, last night, Vikings needed a fourth quarter touchdown drive that he delivered to win the game. And he delivered that in the fourth quarter. I don't think he's as anti-clutch as the haters think.
That's very, very well laid out. At Paul Charchian via Twitter, Guillotine League, guillotineleagues.com. And let's get into some of the fantasy football feast here in the fantasy pickup joint. I'm going to lead with one thing and then just get out of your way. With the in my Guillotine Leagues, where I had seven, now I had five. I got chopped with one of the $15 pieces this week. But that's okay, because Cotton John and yours truly are the only two still alive in the radio-related $30 Guillotine League. Now, we feel really good about that. But what I did in a couple of leagues where I'm a little dicey at quarterback, and it ties into fantasy football, I picked up Kirk Cousins into this week, knowing Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville at home, speedy surface, potential offensive rookie of the year, getting hot again. So I picked up Cousins in a few of my Guillotine leagues. Do you think, if you're a little sketchy at quarterback, get Cousins now with this three games ahead of him?
Yeah, potentially. For any fantasy league, Guillotine league or not, just the schedule is so favorable. Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville is extremely favorable. And, you know, at that point, we probably look to somebody else when it's Tampa, Chicago, and the Saints. But that's okay. He can give us three potentially good starts here. And, you know, the only worry I'd have about all of those teams, Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville, is do we just run Dalvin Cook so much that there's nothing, there isn't volume requisite for Kirk? And that happens sometimes, Paul, you know, where he's a low volume quarterback most of the time. And, you know, you can only do so much on 22 passes. So that would be my only worry on Kirk, but the opportunity will certainly be there against all three teams. By the way, all three at home, as a side note as well.
Let's begin with Drew Brees. And from a fantasy pickup standpoint, just take it away.
Can't wait for the YOLO stylings of Jameis Winston, Paul. He's so much fun to watch, right? Any pass, anything could happen. What we saw in Tampa last year was thrilling. He was the second highest scoring fantasy quarterback last year behind only Lamar Jackson. And, you know, he just throws the ball deep downfield unconscious and anything can happen. That said, last week he played very much in the Saints scheme. He only delivered the ball on average 5 yards downfield last week in his one half of work. And he might, you know, the Saints may not allow him to be YOLO Winston. And if that's going to be the case, he's going to be more of a check down guy who's going to perform more like Drew Brees. And, you know, that really limits the upside that he had. He's shown us in the past. That said, still super fun. And I love having him on my team. And the schedule is predominantly favorable here if he's going to start a few games. And I think that's going to be the case. I mean, I don't know how you play with five broken ribs. So opportunities come this week against Atlanta and then Denver and then Atlanta again, Paul. So if he starts three games, he could be playable in all three games.
What else?
Running backs. We've got a couple of guys to pick up. No, 2 weeks ago, nobody had heard the name Salvon Ahmed.
What?
But he is your starting running back for Miami for probably the next couple of weeks and maybe beyond that. Kids look pretty good. He runs hard. He does everything for Miami. They just jettisoned their presumed goal line guy, their used goal line guy, Jordan Howard. They just cut him.
What about
Miles? So they're
going to
use Ahmed there as well.
Miles Gaskin, though. I mean, he's been out like two or three. Should be coming back soon.
He should be coming back soon. But even when he comes back, maybe Ahmed is good enough that he continues to hold the ball. So I think he belongs on rosters. Kalen Ballage continues to get the work for the Chargers. You could pick him up on the chance that Justin Jackson doesn't come back. Here's maybe the most fascinating one of the bunch. And we talked about him on the radio show this weekend on Fantasy Football Weekly. Devontae Booker, the backup behind Josh Jacobs in Las Vegas, has looked awesome, Paul.
Wow.
He's doing everything that Josh Jacobs was doing, and they're giving him a lot of looks. And, you know, Jacobs has a history of getting dinged up, and Jacobs is reaching a point where he tapped out of the season in December last year. DeVante Booker is a great handcuff if you're looking for one this time of year. For wide receiver, I've only really got one name for you, Josh Reynolds. He's getting more and more work for the Rams, led the team in routes run, targets, and receptions last week. And I don't love Jared Goff, and I don't love having any part of his passing attack here, but he's a guy you could go pick up if you're interested.
Hey, real quick question, Charge. Why is that? What's languishing with Cooper Kupp right now? This is clearly something specific to my team that most people wouldn't care about. But looking at the Rams offense, you have Robert Woods jumping up earlier in the year. Cooper Kupp is lost somewhere, and now Josh Reynolds is a guy that you're touting on a Tuesday.
I know. Part of it is Jared Goff, who I just think is not a clinician at quarterback. But Kupp hasn't scored since week four. Super frustrating, but he is a well-targeted player. It just doesn't end up turning into the deep gains that we've seen in the past. And he had, last year, they targeted him in the red zone a ton, and Cooper Kupp's not getting those looks this year, and that's a big difference. So last year, he wasn't always getting a lot of targets, but they were quality targets near the end zone. This year, it's sort of the opposite. Lots of targets, but not where we need him, near the end zone. So that's been the frustration with Kupp. I still think he's a great player who's just sort of languishing based on what Goff gives him.
Charge, when does next level Shanny start to get good players back? I mean, Kittle, Debo Samuel, the ASU kid, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, he's carrying everything right now. Mm-hmm. But when does next level start getting some players back?
Raheem Mostert could be back as early as this week, Paul. And if not this week, then next week is the original timetable was next week. So that would be a huge, huge boon. The running attack is so pivotal to everything that San Francisco wants to do, and they just don't have the guys to do it. And even James Hasty got knocked out of last week's game, and I don't think he's going to be available.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I think a lot of it really does hinge on getting Mostert back. And, you know, Nick Mullins is a backup quality quarterback. So, you know, everything languishes right now with all the injuries, but yeah, I think the guy you look for here is Raheem Mostert, who really could spark that offense back to life.
I have a tout for you. Tell me what you think in closing. If you're a little stuck at tight end, if Hayden Hurst for the Falcons is available, I've had him on three of my guillotine league teams all year. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for double digits, which I mean, like an 11 to a 16 on a weekly basis from a fantasy standpoint from a tight end, shoot, I mean, it's hard to find. So if somebody cut Hayden Hurst because the Falcons went on a bye, I don't know, man, I'd jump in there and like bid maybe $4 or $5, see what happens.
I would too. I bid more than that because tight end's a total wasteland. Hayden Hurst went into the bye. Paul targeted 7, 7, and 8 times the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
That's about as much as you can ask for. And I'll mention this. He's been missed in the end zone. He could have had 3 or 4 more touchdowns had things just broken a little bit differently for him, and we'd be talking about him as a surefire lock at tight end.
Yeah, I do need to thank you from a fantasy football standpoint. Guillotine leagues obviously has been eye-opening for me. There's zero chance. The last 11 years, I say, hey, pick up Hayden Hurst for $4 out of a bye. And by the way, I like Antonio Gibson's cutback ability. That never would have happened.
Yeah, very impressive. You're clearly paying attention right now at a whole different level. Normally, these are the kind of touts that are reserved for your fantasy basketball.
With this quarterback here, stay humble. Remember, we have Minkah Fitzpatrick moments. We have Deion Jones moments. Stay humble, and let's let this guy stay hot, because when number 8 gets hot, look out. He stays hot for a little while.
Yeah, and for Viking fans, let's just enjoy the ride. You know, we don't have Patrick Mahomes, but we have a quarterback who's good enough to give us some wins, and let's enjoy the victories when we have them.
My man, thanks for the chat. See you Friday.
Can't wait. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchian, guillotineleagues.com, at Paul Charchian via Twitter. Around the corner, the Burke bit, the truncated version to solidify a Super Squares champion of the world, and also some of my takes on Kirk Cousins' role in these 3 games the Vikings have won consecutively. But first, we got that cash thing.
The Fan and Wixon Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand with the National Cash Contest, a new keyword every hour. This hour's keyword is bills. Text bills to 200-200. Want to pay some bills? Text bills to 200-200. Standard text messages.
FAN.
Burke Bit.
Berkey. Paul Allen, what's going on, bud?
Good morning, Paul Allen.
Yo, what's going on there, buddy? Burke Bit, 9 to noon. Good times, bad times. Get rid of the bad times first, and we'll chat again in more elongated fashion on Thursday. Bad times. Ravens, New England Patriots, off that Patriots-Jets debacle. Your Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl winners, went to Indianapolis and won by 20. Any given Sunday, ma'am. That's a phrase you created in 1998, and it kind of bit your Baltimore Ravens, didn't it?
Yeah, it's not that bad. Look, the Baltimore Ravens know that they're going to be in the playoffs. Lots of injuries, first and foremost, most of them short term. But they've got to kind of figure out who they are this year on offense. Lamar Jackson took the league by storm last year. That's great. We're happy for you. This is the NFL. These are the best players and the best
coaches. Hey, Berkey, did you
in the world? They're going to have something for year two, which I think you're.
Hey, Berkey, yeah, you with me?
Yeah.
Did you win at Soldier Field with the Baltimore Ravens?
We never played in Soldier Field.
Okay, so you are a four-time winner at Soldier Field. You, Denny Green, and Randy Moss and so on overcame the supernatural, 98, 99, 0, and 2007. So the team that brought you into the league won at Soldier Field last night, didn't permit a touchdown, gave up like 130-some-odd total yards, whatever it was, 94 below the Bears' total. Just overall, three wins in a row for Ole Udo and the Minnesota Vikings. What do you think of the progression?
I like it, right? The season has been salvaged. Great win in Green Bay. And then I think you look and play in Detroit and Chicago in this three-game division stretch. You beat those teams.
let's end this and call him on the cell, please. Burke Bitt, we'll rejoin momentarily. We have some Super Bowl, Super Squares immortality that we need to share with
the Burke Bitt.
And, then I want to get into Kirk Cousins a little bit and his role in this winning and the Cousins calm that for the most part we've seen the last three games. He had an early, dump off pass center of the field to fullback, CJ Ham, where I thought he was just a little awkward and a little jumpy with that. But the rest of the game, things seemed to work out well. Hey, Berkey.
Let's do this the old-fashioned way, Paul. How are you?
Hey, to Berkey. So you were saying Team Lambeau, continue.
Great win in Lambeau, and then you take care of business the way you're supposed to, I think, against the Lions and the Bears, who are both scuffling. And this team's obviously playing with a lot of confidence right now to exercise those demons of Soldier Field is big, and you know, not just that, get out in front of our skis, but three very winnable games coming up. The season has been salvaged, and I think we collectively as the Viking Nation have a little pep in our step now.
What do you think of the offensive line, given you watch with a critical eye?
The offensive line is like totally different than it was 3 weeks ago, right? I mean, yeah, the running game wasn't what it had been the last few weeks, but that's probably the best, most physical front seven in the NFL, and they knew coming in that the Vikings wanted to feed the ball to Dalvin Cook. What I thought was great last night and gave them a chance to be successful was they stuck with the running game, even though it was no gain, 2 yards, 5 yards, 1 yard. They still stuck with it and did not become one-dimensional. I think that's why part of the reason why you saw Kirk Cousins have success for all four quarters.
A man who executed his toil snapping a football for a decade and a half. Granted, as a center with quarterback's hands up near that crevice, unless they're unless they're going out of the shotguns. The only way to put it. So Austin Cutting, the long snapper here, adore the kid, but. I mean, three consecutive games we've had problems. It involves his snapping and off the season we saw him have last year, where very difficult. I mean, McDermott, super popular guy within the Covenant, good at what he does. But from what I understand, they wanted somebody younger and more physical down the field than maybe what they were getting. Maybe there's a cost component in there too. Long story longer, it appears from afar that young Austin has lost his confidence. So if that is the case, like, how do you get it back so that you can execute what I think is more difficult than people think, snapping and then flipping your head up and like having to block somebody or get down the field and tackle somebody?
Yeah, well, how do you get your confidence back? Excuse me. You just do. You have to do it. I mean, he's kind of run out of chances. You only get so many bad snaps as a long snapper.
Yeah.
There's plenty of guys who are sitting at home who are probably capable, and so he's probably used all that up, and so you can't be out there. It'd be like trying to hit 4-foot putts on the golf course. You know, you can't think about missing. You just have to forget everything that's ever happened, and the next putt you stand over, the next time you go out there and snap the ball, you just got to tell yourself and know that you put the work in and you've done this a million times and you're going to do it right now and you're going to do it perfectly.
So I'm guessing here, but I mean, do you think it would be a fair guess? I mean, off everything I saw him do last year, it was snapping perfection a majority of the time. He dribbles one to Colquitt at Lambeau. Then we get a missed extra point against the Lions. Excuse me. High snap at Lambeau, a dribbler against Detroit, and then a dribbler last night. We got Colquitt out here throwing passes. it's with cutting that has to, I mean, that has to be the answer, right? Confidence.
That's it. I mean, that's all it is. You know, it's one of those things you're expected to be perfect every single time. And, you know, the specialists, the punters, the kickers, and the long snappers, they're a little eccentric for a reason, because you kind of have to be a little bit different, right? You have one job. You have one job, and you need to do it perfectly every single time. And so whatever place you have to go in your mind, whatever air of confidence or aloofness or whatever it is that you need to project to others and to yourself, you just have to do it. And it's not one of those things that you can do scared. You know, I mean, snapping the football 15 yards on a tight spiral with so many rotations, it's a violent motion. You know, you can't be tentative. You just gotta cut it loose and do it. And he knows he can do it. He's done it a million times throughout his life. He's just hit a little rough patch. Maybe it's a little technique thing, whatever. They'll coach him up, and then you just gotta go out there and do it.
You referenced aloof. Part of that word is loof, kind of like Marwan Maloof, the special teams coordinator here. You know him, and you know him well from his Baltimore days. I mean, the joke I've used now twice has been RIP Marwan Maloof's right ear for Zimmer just giving it to him on the sideline last night. I mean, it was hot, man. You could even tell through the television how hot it was. When stuff like that happens on the sideline, how easy is it for like coordinator or coach to bury hatchet with head coach?
Oh, I think it's easy. I mean, that's the world we live in. You know, we don't have time to call a meeting and address it and go visit HR. You know, when there's problems, especially in the heat of a game with the emotion, I mean, everybody understands that that's all it is. You know, it's not personal. I mean, everybody knows that you can't give up kick returns. You can't have punts blocked. You can't miss kicks. So that's just the way it is. If you're a coach and your guys aren't performing, you're going to get chewed out. And then you know what? The coach will go and he'll chew out the players, and that's just what you do. That's what you sign up for. The good news in all of this with the special team struggle is it has not cost the Vikings a game. So you say, whew, we are very fortunate. We've had our little down patch here.
Yeah.
Let's learn from it. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again, and let's be perfect the rest of the year.
Great point, man. I mean, we are so hot. We can have two punts blocked in a game and still find a way to win it. And by the way, when you give up a kick or punt return touchdown over the annals of time, it's proven that you're like an 88% loser. And we gave one up last night to Cordarrelle Patterson, and we still found a way to win the game. So that plays perfectly into what you said. And speaking of winning, Super Squares last evening with the Vikings and the Bears. I don't think people took my money last night, man. I thought my predictions were pretty good.
Your predictions were good. Nordo's were better.
Yeah.
So Nordo got to be king of the skybox, and I cannot remember who won the KFAN skybox, but they did not beat Nordo's predictions. Therefore, Nordo,
boom,
you won $250 last night.
Wow.
Hey.
Yeah, we brought him into the bit for a reason, to save Super Square some money with these adroit predictions.
And if I could just give you more good news, Paul.
Yeah.
This past weekend, there's all sorts of winning going on. Mm-hmm. We've upped the prize pool. And you, my friend, because you are the ultimate buddy, you have a lot of buddies out there playing on your mm-hmm. behalf. Mm-hmm. You won not one, not singular, but two Herman Miller gaming chairs.
What?
Retail at $1,500 a pop because you had two buddies take first place in the national game group. So congratulations. Ah.
You're telling me I won Herman Miller or Herman Moore, the former Lions receiver?
Herman Miller. I feel a little bit like Santa Claus today, wow, just dishing out prizes. So let me just say to Vikings Nation, to KFA and Rube Nation, last night we had phenomenal turnout for the game. Thank you for that. And you got to get in on this. You got to get in on the buddy system because buddies are winning left and right. We have matching prizes all year long. If your buddy wins, you win. And we are going to make this game super slick and super clean come in December where you don't even have to watch the game.
Wow.
We're going to take away the real-time element where you just basically have to check in before the game, make your predictions, and then you'll get all your squares, and you can just enjoy the game and check in whenever you want, and the prize pool is going to go through the roof. So if you're not on board with this thing yet, do it. Get familiar with it now, come December, and invite all your buddies to play.
So wait, I got two Herman Moore special chairs.
You got a Herman Moore and a Brett Perriman.
Okay, great. And you said they're like retail $1,500 each?
Yeah, they are sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're badass chairs.
That's super sweet. I got a million chairs in my house. Give me $1,600 real cash right now. We'll call it even.
I could probably do that. Yes. Maybe I'll give you $1,600 and I'll take one of the chairs.
And you keep the Herman Miller chairs. That is fantastic. Congratulations to whomever won, and in the I Forever Need Friends covenant, thank you for making me your buddy. And also thank you, Matt Burke, for making me your buddy in 1998, my first year I was here. We've been friends now for more than two decades, and I can't wait to see my Herman Moore chair-loving buddy Thursday, 9 to noon, okay?
It's finally paying off for you, Paul, being my friend, finally, after 20 years.
Wow, yeah, after that whole walk up to the election and Twitter and everything, I lost 19 friends because of you, so the least I can do is get two chairs. All right, see you, buddy.
Thank you, bye.
Got you, man. That's Matt Burke, Super Squares. You can play beginning Thursday with Thursday Night Football. It's FL games for now. And you download the Super Squares app and make your skybox KFAN. If Nordo is playing in Super Squares like he started to do a week and change ago, make your buddy Nordo, Nordo, and go ahead and beat his prognostications if you can, and then you make yourself a little money. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Super Squares. And the game is absolutely free. You too can win one of those Glenn Miller or Herman Moore chairs at no charge by simply playing the game. Super Squares, downloaded now. Kirk Cousins and his role in everything positive happening. We'll address that around the corner.
.com.
I can't wait until tomorrow. 'Cause tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait until tomorrow.
Because it's a Wednesday.
'Cause tomorrow,
which means we are that much closer to another Vikings win on a Sunday than Monday. Maybe we can begin with Stomp by Brother Johnson, or an old song by an old school band called, I believe, The Intruders. There was a song called Cowboys to Girls. Cowboys to Girls, old school R&B. I might be able to lead with that on Monday. And then it would be four in a row for Ole Udo.
Four in a row for Ole Udo.
Four in a row for Ole Udo.
And Mike Yo and Boudreaux and Zimmer though. Quarterback Kirk Cousins, 11:44. Good morning. Vikings on a three-game heater. We are suddenly surging. Haven't lost a game out of the bye. This is just a quick 9 to noon take recap snippet in very encapsulated fashion. Three in a row, four Udo. Three in a row, four Zimmer, though. Defense out of the bye. Discretion, better part of valor. Shared that last week. Simplification, more conservative. Yet last night, Zimmer up from out of his sleeve. Holy cow, did he get aggressive. Foles had no chance. And now you got all that on tape moving into the next three. That's sweet. The quarterback filled in or did his job spectacularly. Pretty much the way he did it against the Lions and on third downs, key third downs too, against the Green Bay Packers. So that's where we are, heading into three consecutive at home. And really with Kirk Cousins having now taken in the good, the bad, the nuance, gotten to know more of what goes into the person off the field and his family and stuff like that, that there is no change to the Kirk Cousins bet. There's no change. And he can, like Nick Foles, our beloved Ficknalls. I think back in 2015, he had a 7-touchdown game against the Raiders. It's like one of 8 people in the history of the NFL to throw 7 touchdowns in a game. 1969, Minnesota Viking Joe Capp did the same thing. So, like when Nick Foles does that, cool, he's going to be the Super Bowl MVP. Well, you're right, but after the Super Bowl MVP, it's been rather disastrous for Nick Foles. So, question is was there a change to the bet with Foles from the 7 TD bit to some lackluster things he did with the Rams and so on and so on and so on? Got hot with Philadelphia, ran into Chip Kelly and super special Billy Lazor, 27 TDs, 2 picks. Got the team to the playoffs, lost a spine tingler, I believe, to New Orleans. Then the Chip Kelly trick was dead. And now Foles is still there, Super Bowl 52 MVP. With Cousins, there's no change to the bet with Kirk. I mean, Kirk can go lights out, passer rating well over 100, an interception that was not his fault, and connect on third down like he did last night, find AT19 a couple of times, and not get super jumpy or super fidgety against a team that at Soldier Field has given him immense problems. And, you know, you can be like, yeah, but Akeem Hicks was out. Well, he was also out last year, and Kirk got his ass kicked 6 times via sacks. And Roquan Smith was out last year, too. He played last night. Eddie Goldman, you know, he opted out via COVID. Bilal Nichols is having a wonderful year. Didn't have a bad game last night, but the long play here is, unlike 2018 when Eddie Jackson sucked him into a 27-yard pick 6, it's different, but it's the same. And I've seen it all my life. I mean, with all due respect to Kirk, 2018, lackluster, 2019, we can roll with that. First part of 2020, specifically that Atlanta game, a turnover in the Super Chickens game, kind of nullified the wonderful work he did at the end, did some good work against Tennessee, but we had a turnover in that one, and so on and so on and so on. So there's no change to the Cousins bet for me. He's the same guy that I and we have seen all of our lives. And for me, it just reminds me of situations, people, and or scenarios that I have seen all of my life at dice tables. I mean, it can be Las Vegas, it can be Diamond Joe's, it can be Punta Cana, it can be Harrah's in New Orleans, doesn't matter where it is. When Kirk gets hot, Kirk stays hot. And when Kirk's hot, you want to quadruple your odds bets behind your green chip pass. You want to load up on the come, and you want to buy every number. Because when this man is hot, you'll retire. Because he, like last year, to go from the 2-2 Bears bit, Diggs basically quits the team. Kirk, I believe, having a reflective moment of, what if it's me, becomes the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. Well, Kirk's hot again. And the question is, how long will it stay? With the three in front of him, it should stay for at least a month. Now, the thing with Kirk, like the Deion Jones moment and some other moments, is just when you load up and get all those chips out on the table and you keep adding to your bets. Sir, you've hit the 5 6 times. Excuse me. You've hit the 8 for number 8 6 times. You want to increase your bet? Yeah, let's go ahead and roll it up to 150. 7 out. A line away. That is what has happened to Kirk throughout his career, where just when you get invested to a certain level, and there's your dagger. So he's a hard eight. He is a human version of a hard eight because he wears eight and he's hard to figure out sometimes. Bottom line, guy at the end of the table right now, Kirk Cousins, he's on a good run. He is on a good roll. He's making those pass numbers. He's picking off the hard ways. The negatives rolling in playing the don't, he's making them pay. But when Kirk has a Deion Jones moment, you want to take everything in your 401k and load up on that don't pass because it ain't going to change for that game. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I was incredibly down on Kirk for a large part of the season. And last night was as eye-opening a moment for me as I've had since he joined the team. And, you know, the numbers, the score line, all of those things, nothing historic, nothing overly daunting about them.
Yep.
However, everything that he has failed to do at Soldier Field, everything he has failed to do in 2020, he did it last night. And you're starting to see a trend now where these aren't fourth quarter garbage time touchdowns. These are dagger game over touchdowns he's throwing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The poise in third down specifically is incredible. His work last night was awesome, save for one moment on that Roquan Smith sack. I thought his pocket awareness and how he handled himself was poise filled. He was patient, and he took advantage of a Bears defense that doesn't typically give you a lot. Soft zone areas, making all those completions. And in fairness to Kirk as well, when he got hot in 2019, he didn't cool down until January.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, and even the Monday night game where things got weird against the Packers, you don't have Dalvin in the mix. When he has everything he needs to do his job, mm-hmm. when he got hot after week four, he didn't cool down until the Niners game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So whenever that cool down happens, and I'm with you, keep putting those chips in. What Kirk did last night, if that is the switch flipping moment and really post bye, then let's go win six straight, head to Tampa, see what happens, and get ourselves back into the postseason again.
See, with Kirk, and maybe it bears more conversation, I don't think there is a switch to be flipped. I think the switch is stuck.
That this is just what we're going to be used to.
And either the light bulb illuminates or it goes out and you got to get a new one. And the switch has minimal to do with it because he and I agree with you, last night was a polarizing moment for Kirk at Soldier Field, 60,000 anti-Vikes not there. I said it 100 times last week for a reason. It helps that man. Not having a fan base at Soldier Field, I felt a lot of people underplayed. I overplayed it simply because I've been there and I've seen him in certain situations. But he improvised last night on a couple of things where Barkevious Mingo or Khalil Mack or the skeletal remains of Robert Quinn, they ran straight to an outside spot because they guessed bootleg. And they were right twice. And instead of booting to where he's comfortable, he stopped and he wiggled. And then he threw. And it was on time.
Did you see him run last night for 15 yards? Yeah. I mean,
nullified.
What the hell's going on? I mean, the holding penalty sucked. But
I know. And his running style, it didn't look Bob Hagen-esque with those tiny legs. The gait was beautiful. He's hot. Load up on that hard six. Load up on that hard eight. Load up on that hard 10. Because we sense, even the hard four, load up on the hard four because we sense a fourth consecutive win coming, maybe orchestrated by our hard eight. Thank you very much for listening. Paul Allen from the Bryant Heating and Cooling Studios. Faith over fear, please. And Matt Producer has a wrap on the show.
Thanks to Metropolitan Ford, your truck superstore. A hard eight, you say? Three straight wins while working out the kinks. Fleeting moments come and go faster than PA blinks. Man, Foles won a ring, but that offense stinks. More perilous than Abbott trying to walk across an ice rink. 1-5 on the ledge, about to fall, but you prevent him. No time to think, change the momentum. Excuses for special teams, what I've seen, no need to invent them. Eric Wilson wanted the blitz, Zimmer sent him. Kirk Cousins no longer a Monday night loser. Under the bright lights, no need for a diffuser. Exploiting a bad Bears D, at times porous. He smiles wider than he did in a glee club chorus. Maximus Decimus Meridius. Are you entertained? PA back from the bathroom. His jeans pee stained. Keep the heat on. I hope these windows are double paned. 1-3, time for three more. We're faith trained.
I know, right?
Podcast.
podcast Today's Paul Allen Show or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or